Lately,
you're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Nathan Segura, Matt Wilhelm with you. 216-578-0850, the way to join us. Don't forget, coming up at 1:45 p.m. on today's show, Kevin Jones, staff writer for ClevelandBrowns.com, and Jim Donovan, the voice of the Browns from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network, will be with us live in studio for the roundtable presented by Blue Point Grill. Dog Pound, you can watch Cleveland Browns games on demand and in HD on your computer, tablet, or mobile device by subscribing to Game Rewind on ClevelandBrowns.com. The phone lines are lighting up, 216-578-0850. We're also going to get into Carolina, who I thought had a very impressive and very decisive and dominant victory over the Baltimore Ravens, over Carolina, 38-10. And we'll also get into the Pittsburgh-Tampa Bay game and talk some Titans-Colts. By the way, just looked up the fact the Titans have been outscored 100-34 in their last three games. That's not good.
No, and it's got our offense has to be licking their chops. Because,
licking.
Again, we have, 21 plus in three games? All three games,
yes.
Averaging almost 25 points a game. And so, believe me, the Tennessee Titans know that the Cleveland Browns are going to come ready to score points, and they've got to be ready.
And Ray Horton defenses have massive holes in them that the Browns should be able to exploit. Let's go to the phone lines. Ed on his cell. Welcome to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. What's up, Ed?
Hey, I took a bunch of Amish guys down to Licking County Saturday. Then
nice.
I watched the Steelers lose Sunday.
Which was glorious.
Yes, and the guy that stood out to me, two of them, Devin Hester and that J.J. Watt. That guy is awesome.
J.J. Watt had one of the plays of the day, certainly. Charlie, E.J. Manuel thought he was throwing a little flare out to the right, and J.J. Watt just said, yoink, and took it straight back to the house for a touchdown. He's fantastic. Devin Hester playing incredibly well for the Atlanta Falcons. We saw what he did on that Thursday night game against Tampa Bay. Picks up another touchdown with a nice catch and run. Broke about four tackles, sprinted up the sideline. He definitely stood out for the Atlanta Falcons. But I'll tell you what, in that Atlanta-Minnesota game, how about my guy Theodore Bridgewater? Goes out there in his NFL debut, his first start in the National Football League. Duels against Matty Ice. Comes out and all he does is complete 19 of 30 for 317 yards, runs for 27 more and a touchdown. No turnovers on the day. Leads the Vikings to 41 points and a huge win over the Falcons. That was as impressive and as in command as a young quarterback could look, I thought, Teddy Bridgewater in that game.
And also, too, without Adrian Peterson.
No AP. No problem.
No problem.
They threw for 317 yards. They ran for 241 yards in this game. It was, I'll tell you what, the Falcons D didn't look very good on that Sunday.
That's where I'm going. I'm looking down the road for the Cleveland Browns. We have Atlanta Falcons in Atlanta late in that late run. So it's again. If I'm not mistaken,
that's the week that Josh Gordon returns.
Yes,
for the Cleveland
it is.
Browns.
We hope so. God, would that be nice to see him on that turf?
Okay, it's gonna be great. Last year, first game after suspension in a dome on the road against Minnesota. I believe he hung 190 on them and a hose down. I'd like to see more of the same. Let's go to Chevy in New Jersey now. Welcome to CBD.
Yes, I realized over the bye week that 35 was Matt Wilhelm. And my dad and I were at the national championship game, and he was standing there with Clarette by the bench.
Uh-huh.
My dad, he yelled out, "Hey, Wilhelm, get off your ass." Do you remember that?
I don't. I don't.
How do you not remember that?
Come
on, man.
I'm only playing in the biggest game of my career.
You hearing that stuff?
I don't. You know what? You're right, man. Marisa and I are still great friends, and that's a memory for all of us. I don't remember that, so I apologize.
But I think it lit a fire under you in that game.
I just had no idea you were that guy. It's so great to meet you. Now, my comment is this. When you played with the coach, the best, did he make in-game adjustments? And, like talk to a player, let's say, before the punt against Baltimore or maybe before, an important play. Did he take people aside and tell them how important the play was?
Absolutely. And I think the best coaches in college and professional football do so. In some cases, it's not the head coach because the head coach is overseeing the whole body of work. but a position, the best position coach that I've been a part of, you know, before you walk out on, you know, for a defensive series or a special teams, like they're always be wary of the fake. Remember they can do this, you know, and it's like that fresh reminder in your head or that scenario that you might have overlooked as a player because you're in the moment that a coach can give you. And especially defensive player, you know, they're giving you, remember, you know, first, after a turnover, they're going to take that shot down the field. Those little things, those little intricacies that you as a player, you know, take for granted and just go, oh, I'm just going to play and I'll make that play that a coach can insert into your mind, in the forefront of your mind, and you can go out and make that play. And in most cases, those coaches are right.
All right, let's go to Damian in Columbus now. Damian, welcome to CBD.
Hey, how you doing, man?
Good. How are you?
I'm pretty good. I pretty much spent my weekend. I watched the Ohio State game, a big win, big Buckeye fan, and I watched Sunday from 1 to probably 9 o'clock at night on football games. The game I was most shocked by was the Saints and Cowboys. I already had picked the Saints to beat the Cowboys, and the Cowboys really were able to run the ball down the Cowboys' throat.
No question. You know? No question. And they've done something now. DeMarco Murray with 100 yards rushing in each of the first four games. It hasn't been done since Emmitt Smith back in 1995. What?
Emmitt Smith, Jim Brown, and who was the other one?
All Hall of Famers.
Yeah,
I don't remember the third either.
But that's crazy. You know, it's just a testament to what, you know, the offensive line. What a strong offensive line can do for an offense, which we have here in Cleveland.
And the Cowboys, you know, that's not to keep harping on the Cowboys. When the Cowboys were good, they were good up front when they had a good offensive line. When they had that big dominating offensive line, that's when they were good.
And they've invested some first-round picks. Smith, certainly. Yeah.
Not always the sexy picks.
The center, right. And now it's paying dividends for this line. DeMarco Murray on pace for over 2,000 yards rushing on the season. They're running more than they're passing, and they're all of a sudden quietly 3-1 here with the dismantling of the Saints. They raced out to a 24-0 lead in that game in the first half against New Orleans and did not look back. Thought the D even played well in that one. Yeah, that was another eye-opener from this Sunday. The way that I looked at it, from the Browns standpoint, you know, you wanted Carolina to take down Baltimore. Didn't happen, but Tampa Bay beat Pittsburgh, and of course the Texans beat the Bills. So 2-1 in the games of interest if you were a Browns fan on Sunday.
I just want to make one other point that was brought up all week last week that came through fruition in the Dallas game with Maurice Claiborne. I just, again, as a player who's always been very optimistic, very well liked, it's, you know, Maurice Claiborne came out and said, oh, I'm no longer the starter. I'm just going to up and walk out of practice.
That's which, like, he did. He left in the night.
That's leaving work. You know, like, you got up from your desk and you just said, I'm out and I'm leaving work. And I just want to say, like, karma. Karma, 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 because now he has got hurt in his chance to play in the game last night. And in most cases, a lot of people are saying it's an ACL injury, which puts him out for the rest of the year. So you want to get up and walk out of work and be that guy, and now you're that guy that's going to sit on the sideline with an ACL injury for the rest of the season.
It is certainly a strange turn of events in a very short period of time for Mo Claiborne out there in Dallas. Now, we were told you we were going to dive into these games. Baltimore hosting Carolina, it was the Steve Smith revenge game, and boy, did he show up. 7 catches, 139 yards, and 2 touchdowns in this one. A completely dominant performance by the Baltimore Ravens, and it makes you even feel worse about the fact that the Browns let one get away when they took this team and had this team beat. I thought the Ravens looked very, very good. Joe Flacco was not touched in this game. He has not been sacked now in 2 straight games. Justin Forsett was the main man running the football. A lot of questions there. He had 14 for 66 and a touchdown, caught 3 for 31. Talifiero, Zoe, the rookie who basically gashed up the Browns, came in garbage time mostly, but finished with 58 yards and a touchdown on the ground. Torrey Smith finally got in the end zone for the first time. 2 catches, 53 and a score. Flacco was a cool 22 of 31, 327 and 3 scores. The Ravens looked dominant. Carolina in this game, with the Browns will see down the road, did not. I thought Cam Newton looks injured. I thought his body language was poor when things started to go south quickly in this game. Kelvin Benjamin continues to impress me as a rookie wide receiver. By the way, he had 5 for 76 and a score, but they're beaten up at running back. D'Angelo Williams ended up leaving this game. They don't have Jonathan Stewart. They don't have Mike Tolbert. But I thought defensively Carolina was going to come out and make this a very difficult day for the Baltimore Ravens, and yet the Baltimore just completely came out and had their way with them on the day. 10.5 yards per pass, 4.2 yards per rush, 7.4 yards per play. It was a dismantling, and that was as good as the Ravens have looked. I mean, they dismantled also the Pittsburgh Steelers on that Thursday night game. So for the Browns to let that one get away against a team that is actually, I think, pretty solid, it stings a little bit more.
It definitely does. Two things that I pull from that that Carolina-Baltimore game is, one, as a player, you've got to have that swagger. I love that Stevie Smith Sr. called his shot against his former team and went out and flat-out balled. Number two is, and I think this is where the optimism lies in this schedule for the Cleveland Browns, is that, you know, we get the NFC South, which has been such a solid division, with the Saints getting picked to go to the Super Bowl, the Carolina Panthers being a playoff team, and, you know, the Atlanta Falcons bouncing back from being a very, very good football team to being bad last year, but bouncing back, and Tampa being, you know, a mishmash of good and bad with a new coach in Lovie Smith. But that's a very, very up and down division. So again, as we talked during break, is a little bit of momentum on the Cleveland Browns sideline with, you know, some wins and some, you know, and no longer having that complacency, that little bit of momentum that we can beat any team in that division when we play our best football, which bodes extremely well for the record towards the end of the season.
It certainly does, and that's why this game is so huge. You got to get that momentum jump started against the Tennessee Titans, a team that is getting shellacked 3 weeks in a row. They've got quarterback injuries and quarterback issues. They don't really have a playmaker who has stood out thus far. It is going to be a very, very, very important game, because you had 2 weeks of game plan for a team that you should know well schematically, both on the offense and defensive sides of the ball, and they've got to get the job done there. The other game that I thought was very interesting of note, certainly we said we'd get into it, Tampa Bay and Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh Steelers, I thought for the most part, dominated this football game.
Yes,
and it
did.
Was one of those strange games where you're watching it and you're saying they're going to win. They should be winning going away. Roethlisberger was 29 of 40 for 314, three touchdowns, no interceptions. Le'Veon Bell had another game with over 100 total yards. Antonio Brown had 7 for 131 and 2. Heath Miller came alive. He had 85 and a touchdown with 10 catches. And yet they continued to let the Tampa Bay Buccaneers hang around and hang around and hang around, and it came down to a final drive where the Tampa Bay Buccaneers were without Mike Evans at that point, and Mike Glennon comes in, leads them down, hits Vincent Jackson from 5 yards out after a big pass for 41 yards to Lou Murphy, who was a street free agent yeah. earlier in the week.
It's just how it happens in the NFL, man.
And they end up pulling that game out against the Pittsburgh Steelers, who committed 13 penalties on the day for 125 yards.
Not only 13 penalties, but Ben Roethlisberger was sacked 5 times as well. And then the one thing that I want to highlight in this game, that again, because I did watch it, and it was towards the end of the game, two key plays. And this just goes to show how you can play a very, very dominant performance when you let someone stay in the game, and two small little plays can make a difference. One is when they missed Antonio Brown on that halfback pass or that reverse pass.
Yep.
When it just went right off, it was a very catchable ball, went right off his hands.
Yep.
That is the difference in the game. And then also, too, they stopped them, and the punter punts the ball 24 yards, giving them the ball inside, I believe, at or around or even inside their own 50, which meant Mike Glennon and that Tampa Bay offense had to go all but less than 50 yards to go score to have a chance to win the game.
Yep.
So, again,
46 yards.
A drop pass and a special teams play were the difference in winning and losing for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
And that's what it comes down to, the little thing. And by the way, a special teams play, the Browns certainly all too familiar with that and how it can impact the game. But now the Steelers sit at 2-2 here. They go on the road and take on the Jacksonville Jaguars. Next week, the Ravens at 3-1 in second place in the division. They go on the road and take on the Indianapolis Colts next week. And that could be certainly a little bit of a challenging game there. And I believe that Cincinnati in week number 5 goes on the road as well. All 4 teams in the division are on the road. I think Cincinnati goes and plays the New England Patriots on Sunday Night Football.
You're correct.
Next week.
You're
so
correct.
All teams on the road in the AFC North next week. But it's an opportunity, I would say, the Browns and the Steelers with the easiest of the matchups there. It will be an opportunity for the Browns to hopefully make up some ground in this division. Then they get the Steelers at home next week, and you'd want to say the Browns should have an opportunity to go to 3-2 at that time. We're going to get into some more games from around the NFL. We do want to continue to hear from you. 216-578-0850, 216-578-0850, or tweet the show at Browns_daily, at Nathan Zagura, at Matt Wilhelm 57. A lot to get through in the NFL. We broke down 2 of the games. We'll do some more of that. The Browns getting back to work tomorrow here as they prepare to take on the Titans in week 5.